As we continue to worship the Lord, how amazing God is to give us encouragement like the five decisions in a time like this, and five young people who have the rest of their lives to serve the Lord and to bless and glorify His name. If you would take a Pew Bible and turn to page 317, 318, or on your own Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, or on your phone or tablet, and we're going to read some verses together there. I'm going to begin in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, and we're going to read through the end of verse 13 in chapter 31. And as always, let's honor God's word and stand, if you can, stand as we follow along in this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and beginning at verse 19. And Moses is speaking here and he says, "I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life, and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Continuing on in chapter 31, verse 1. "Then Moses went and spoke all these words to all Israel. And he said to them, 'I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.' Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed.' So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, 'At the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, in the place which He chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law. And that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess.'" Heavenly Father, this is your word, spoken a long time ago and yet just as true today as when Moses brought courage and strength to your people as they faced difficult times and uncertainty. And so, Father, as we face a time of uncertainty, may you, in the power of your Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts and strengthen each one of us, that we may know your peace and your goodness throughout these days. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you get the praise and prayer, you'll see that I stopped our series in Matthew for this week, and I would have been preaching on Matthew 13, the parables of the kingdom, and we will come back to that, I promise. But the Lord led me instead to think about facing uncertain times, and we advertised that on praise and prayer. And as you see, that's exactly where we are as a nation, as a people, as a world, in fact, in these days and times. Uncertainty brings out both the best and the worst in human nature. If you've been hunting for toilet roll, you know exactly what I'm saying. And at the risk of being shot after the service, let me just hasten to add, if you run short, I have enough theology books that are useless and nonsense that you are more than willing to have. Anyhow, if I had the opportunity this morning to speak to all the nations of the world, this is what I would say. Where are all your resources now? Where are your answers? Where, O world, is your hope? What can you do to defeat this virus? And the world would have to respond, we can't. And it is at times like this that the Lord God allows us to see what is absolute and what is vital and what is of the greatest importance. Because eternity is far more valuable than time. And if you think about the toilet roll run, you'll realize that we are people who panic when we no longer have control. I would have thought that wisdom would have had a run on the foodstuffs in the stores, but the food shelves are still full. But you see, our world does not know what to do when it's not in control. And this is not a criticism, simply a report. I encourage you, pray for our politicians. But you see, in fact, our leaders are reluctant to make decisions because public opinion might burn them. But the truth is that you and I, who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have something that is otherworldly, that is eternal, and that brings hope into situations where there seems to be so little. And so I want this morning just to share with you, before we look at facing an uncertain future, a little note I received yesterday by email from a friend. His name is Stephen Cardy. He's the head of Focus on the Family in Ireland. And Stephen is a man who has a very compromised immune system. He is a cancer survivor, amongst other things. And this is what Stephen wrote. I will not allow my life to be governed by fear. And I encourage you to take the same stand as my friend Stephen. Now, in Ireland, he is in the European setting where this thing has gone even much worse than anything we have seen so far. He says, I'll take all sensible and necessary precautions, but I'll make my decisions based on my life's priority, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a good place to be. And I want to encourage you, that's the place where you and I need to stand and where we need to be. In these times when people are anxious and fearful, how vital it is that those who know Christ shine like stars in the universe and be able to display the peace of God that passes all understanding. My daughter, who's a nurse practitioner, last night called me twice just about how fast things are moving in the Manitoba system where she works and so on. And I said to her, Margaret, I have been through wars and rumors of wars and SARS and MERS and all the rest. And she said, yes, but this is different. And I said, but one thing, my dear daughter, remains the same. Our hope is not in what our healthcare system can do, although we know that they can do many things and we're grateful for it. But our hope and our strength needs to be in the Lord, the creator of all things and sustainer of all things. So, as those who know Christ, how are we supposed to go on from here? And so let me give you four suggestions from what Moses encouraged God's people as they faced an uncertain future. Let me just take four simple things out of this text, primarily from verse 8. First of all, we see that we can go into this holding the promises of God. Now, I know that there are different ideas of how many promises there are in Scripture, but there are thousands and thousands of them. And as we go, we see here in verse 8, he says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. And you know, that's a promise that God made to him in Exodus 33 and verse 14. I'll go with you, he said. When Moses said, if you're not coming, don't send us up there. And the Lord said, no, my presence shall go with you. So when you go out of here today, think about the impact that the promises of God ought to have on your life and mine. We do not want to live in anxiety and cower in fear when we will put our hands in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and hold on to Him and to His eternal promises. Now, a promise is only as good as the one who makes it, but the promises of Scripture are absolutely secure. And they're meant to give us courage and confidence. You see, not once but twice in this text, Moses reminds God's people and Joshua, who is going to lead them, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. That is what God calls you and I to do in these days and in this crisis. Take the courage that He can give and the confidence that He gives. Think of the comfort that is contained in His promises. Where's Pastor Shea? I can't even pick on him. He's not even over here. Huh. Well, I can pick on his brother. Look, good to see you, man. Look, you're young. You don't have to worry about this virus. It's going to clean off old guys like me. Anyway, just in the event that you got sick and died, isn't that a hopeful thought? Where would you go?
Heaven.
Ah, Laurel said it too. I got two heavens in one question. Listen, if you are in Christ, this is why you can shine, and this is why you can have confidence in the crisis, because the things of this earth are at best only passing. The world says to you today, we're doing all that we can. And I'm so thankful that my hope doesn't rest in what man can do. I'm so thankful that my hope rests in what Christ has done. And I have this confidence. If it does clean this old guy off, I'll be waiting for you inside the gate, just like on a Sunday morning. Hi, welcome to heaven today. Do not fear. Do not be anxious. The Lord, He goes before. You see, as you consider His promises, He keeps every single one of them. I was trying to think, Lord, give me an illustration of how You have kept Your promises. And the Lord reminded me, do you remember when You came to me alone in your prayer time, when you went as a church planting pastor and there was nobody in the church, and you came and you said, God, would you give me one soul a month that I might not only see them come to You, but begin to disciple them for You? And 7 years later, in that little church, what was the average attendance? 84. You do the math. He is absolutely faithful to His promises. You continue to dig into His Word. Winston Cooper back there told me this morning, I'm all the way up to Job. You see, he's been reading in the Scriptures, and he's going like gangbusters. I challenge you to keep up with him. He'll kill me for mentioning him afterwards. But he's doing the right thing. He's doing what we all need to do in these days. Dig into the promises of God. The faithfulness of God is absolutely amazing, isn't it? Now, you know, if I told you to turn to Lamentations chapter 3 in your Bible, you would say, oh yeah, he's going to read God's faithfulness is great and it's new every morning and so on. But I want to read a couple of verses just a bit further on from there. In Lamentations 3, 52 to 58, it says this, my enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit. They threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. I called on Your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit, and You heard my voice. Do not hide Your ear from my sighing and from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on You and said, do not fear. There it is. O Lord, You have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. How wonderful are those words, you see. When everything was thrown at Him, He says, Lord, You heard the cry. You took up my case. So we can walk with the promises of God, gaining confidence and courage from them. Secondly, we can walk in the provision of God. As you look back in Deuteronomy 31:8, you see, it says, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. There is that protective hand of God that goes with His servants as we go about His business and are surrendered to His will. I am often told when I minister in prisons in Africa, don't you go down into the population, they'll kidnap you. And so, obedient as I am, I'll walk right down in the midst of the population. Why? because those men and women need to know there is no fear when you walk with Christ in His will and in His way and in His purpose. Ezra chapter 7, I won't take time. I encourage you to read it. You'll find four times in Ezra 7 and 8, it uses this expression, "The hand of the Lord, my God, was upon me," is upon me. Ezra knew that the Lord was with him. And we see that he knew that God would provide for him. He says, "I didn't ask for soldiers. I asked God for His protection, His provision." And nobody attacked them all the way through the months of the journey to Jerusalem with the things of the temple. The early Christians experienced it. Peter, so afraid before the Lord's crucifixion, so filled with courage and boldness afterwards, the hand of the Lord upon them. Oh, is there not cause for us to pray today, "Lord, set your hand upon me. Be my guide, be my provider. Let me walk in your will and in your way and in your purpose, and I'll know your fulfillment in my life." It's interesting, we sang that song, "No weapon formed against me shall stand." That's Isaiah 54:17. And I couldn't help but think as we sang it, I remember saying, "Lord, in Northern Ireland after I got saved, there's so many of them, and there's just me." And if you've read my little book, you know it's entitled, "The Battle Is Not to the Strong." That's because God gave me in His Word in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, "The battle is not to the strong, the race is not to the swift," etc. That's because as you walk knowing the provision of God, and dear friends, He has provided in His faithfulness all of the years since then, since I was 19. That's a long time ago. Amen, look. Amen. He provides peace. Do you have that this morning? He provides grace, forgiveness, a relationship in Jesus. Do you have that this morning? Oh, I'd plead with you even more so than on a regular Sunday. Don't risk eternity. Make sure of it. Be sure before you leave those doors today that Christ is in your heart and Christ is in your life. He gives strength. We read that in Isaiah 40. He gives strength to the weary. Even young men shall stumble and fall. Look, watch yourself. He provides for our physical needs. Dear friends, this is the Lord our God. Thirdly, as we think about facing this, we face it knowing that we have His presence. Read about it in Psalm 91, but it's here in verse 8 as well. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. And then it says, He will not leave you nor forsake you. His presence. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. He's always present everywhere, all the time. But there are times like these uncertain times when, oh, how good it is to know that His presence is not only here, but here. You know the difference between the Old and the New Testament, don't you? Moses is saying the Lord will go with you. And Jesus is saying in the New Testament, He is in you. In you. Oh, what a difference. When we are surrendered to the presence of the living God, the omnipresent one, the same one who was with Daniel in the lion's den. I love a king gets no sleep all night worrying about his servant, rushes to the lion's den the next morning and says, "Oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you?" And he's expecting to hear, "Bah!" And instead he hears, "O king, live forever." There's a difference between the world and the believer. Daniel went on to say, "My God has shut the lion's mouths." Wouldn't you say he knew the presence of God? Or Esther and Mordecai. Haman builds a scaffold to hang Mordecai on it. And in short time, God turns it around. And the man who built the scaffold is hung upon it himself, because God, in his presence, is with his own. Now, I know that I'm talking this morning, and some would say, "If I was honest, Pastor, it's been a long time since I knew the presence of God." And I want to encourage you this morning, don't leave it that way. Seek him, and he will find you. I was reading earlier in the week in Isaiah 55, and verses 6 and 7 became so precious to me. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And I thought about, oh, Lord, I make so many mistakes and failures. But look at what it says here. When we forsake our way and our thoughts and return to the Lord, he will have mercy, compassion on us. What a tremendous promise that is. You see, the devil says, "Well, you'll never get that presence of God back. You'll never have that closeness that you once had." But the devil's a liar. And the Bible says if we will come, we'll find compassion and mercy in him. So we do not want to be driven by fear, but to walk by faith. And Christ is the one in his presence that gives us victory, even in difficult circumstances. Fourthly, my friends, as we come toward an end, and if somebody wants to give the 10-minute warning downstairs, that would be good. It's usually Dave Hubick, but I don't see him, so somebody slip down and let them know we're coming for lunch shortly. Not only do we have his promises and his provision and his presence, but also his power. The end of verse 8 says, "He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." In verses 3 to 5 of this chapter, we see that his power is there in dealing with the enemy. God himself crosses before you. He will destroy those nations. It talks about what he will do, not what you and I will do. That power addresses all the what ifs. My daughter last night wouldn't come out and say it, but what she was really trying to avoid saying is, "Dad, you're old. You're in the category. You're in the sight, man. You could get this thing." And I, in my own foolish way, was trying to say to her, "I love you, and I know that you care. But you're listening to the what ifs. What if you get this? What if something happens?" Well, my God shall supply all your need according to what? his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Not what I will supply, but what he will do. It's his power that answers all of the what ifs. It is power enough to forgive sin. Yes, even somebody like me who picked up a gun once and got involved in violent conflict, forgiven, cleansed. Yes, somebody like the lady who was a stripper and a prostitute in Niagara Falls, who walked into a Franklin Graham crusade one night and walked forward and gave her heart to Christ and was totally cleansed. And the change was so obvious. Forgiven. There's power enough to redeem you and me. And there's power enough to equip us regardless of the uncertainties and the days that we live in. There's power enough to overcome death. Hallelujah! Jesus is not still in the grave. That's why the cross here is empty. He's not still on the cross. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And Peter, in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, says, death couldn't hold him. Yes! Power. Power enough to quiet storms and to give hope in despair. And if this thing goes where all the experts say, we will be in a situation where many people are despairing and despondent, but you and I in Christ have hope. Power enough for your need today in these uncertain times. Power enough to rescue us in all circumstances. I was thinking about Martin Luther at the Diet, the court in Worms in Germany, when they said to him, deny these things that you've written, or you'll die as a heretic in the flames. And God gave him such wisdom to say, I cannot deny them, for they're the things that God has written in his word. We have a Savior and a Lord who gives us what we need in the times that we need them, just as he did for the children of Israel here in Deuteronomy. But you'll notice that Moses tells them, you need to make a choice. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And to make a choice is to either obey the word of God or to walk in our own strength. Friends, please don't walk in our own strength. As we try to do that, we'll always fail. Choose Christ and life. Now just quietly, let's bow our heads. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And if you're not sure today that Christ is your Savior and heaven is your eternal home, make this prayer your prayer and simply say, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me for my sin and come, fill my heart with your life. Teach me how to walk with you. And now, Father, while we're in the attitude of prayer, may I just ask you as God's people, this morning, if you're feeling anxious or you have a need, would you just take a minute and slip up your hand? I want to pray for you as we close the service. Thank you. God bless you. I see those hands, many and more. You see, we are a needy people. And gracious God, as we come to you, thank you that you are the one who can minister strength and courage and hope. I pray that you would answer every hand that has been raised today. You know the needs, you know the anxieties, you know the fears, you know the struggles. And Master, without the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. So please, Father, hear the cry of each of those hearts and continue to minister to us as your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.